Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Katarina Graham from the Vampire Diaries, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, I'm Joe Manganiello, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Larry Minetti, and I'm on Stardish Radio.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassey, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is September 27th, 2010. Your host, Joanne Kulisek, with you tonight. So pleased to have you guys come back. Got some stuff going on in the archives I want you to check out. Go to the Stardish Radio homepage on Blog Talk Radio, and you can download them, listen to them. I've been doing a couple of these little 10-minute deals with NBC, promoting some of their new fall lineup and some of their old fall lineup. So I'd like for you to check that out, some new content for you guys to get into. Michael Sutton, who played Stone Cates on General Hospital, will be spending a few minutes with me tomorrow around 11 a.m. Eastern Time. So I'd like you to come over and listen to him. He's reprising his role as Stone on General Hospital for a short time, of course, and he's going to tell us all about that. So make sure you come back for that. Tonight's guest is going to be Keiko Ellsworth and the amazing Donna Rayford. They're going to be coming on to talk about their theatrical modeling production called A Night in Paris, which is, I'm going to give it to you straight from the horse's mouth, it is a theatrical modeling production put together by Crown Jewel Productions. Donna Rayford is the founder of this company. And part of the proceeds of this wonderful production will be going to A Safe Passage, which is a center that helps women and children in domestic violence situations, which Keiko is extremely involved in. He was with me last year around October talking about that as well, which I do believe I have my buddy on the phone right now. So let me go to the phone lines and welcome Mr. Keiko Ellsworth. Hello there.
Hello. This is actually Donna Rayford with the Crown Jewel Studios, I believe.
Hello. How are you?
How are you? Keiko's a little
fabulous.
Late. Okay.
Yes, yes. You should be checking in just a moment.
All right. Wonderful. Well, I am honored to have you, my dear.
Well, thank you. And I'm honored to be part of the show this afternoon or evening in your part of the planet.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm in Florida, so we're at 9 p.m. Eastern Time right now. So you're out in California, right? You're getting that massive heat wave.
It is amazing. It's like easy bake oven hot.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. I was just reading someone tweeting saying that it's actually the hottest day ever since they started keeping track in 1877.
That is exactly right. I don't think I remember it ever being this hot.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, it's hot here, but it ain't that hot. Well, while I have you, Donna, first, tell me about A Night in Paris and how it came to be.
Well, I tell you, I would best describe this as a revolutionary theatrical production where theater meets high fashion modeling. We have incorporated a multimedia roller coaster ride for our audience to partake in. We've written this absolutely intriguing story called A Night in Paris, and so we take our audience on this tour through Paris over 9 acts, and you know, we incorporate a story that's unveiled over film, via live theater, and through high couture modeling.
Mm.
And it's going wonderful. It's really, really going wonderful. Keiko and I, as co-producers, as you may know, have been working on this absolutely incredible production with a cast of 40 models and dancers and 14 designers, one from Paris. Actually, two of our designers are from Paris. And, of course, one from Florida, actually your neck of the woods, one
okay.
from New York, and then the balance of them are local. And so we've been working on this production for months, and it's just amazing that we're within 3 weeks before the big day.
That's amazing. Now, I was reading that this was actually your dream about your honeymoon and to play after your husband's death. Was that difficult for you?
You know, I have to tell you, while I was writing it, it was perhaps one of the most painful, if not the most painful, experiences of my life. And, while I was mourning the unexpected death of my husband, you know, we had planned to take our honeymoon to Paris, and our honeymoon was postponed for a couple different reasons. And 4 months after my Cinderella wedding, my husband tragically passed away, and it was an extremely painful experience. I mean, it was unthinkable. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And so I just would wake up in the middle of the night, quite literally, and while I was crying and, reaching out for him and just yearning him, I mean, it was indescribable. It turned into this escape for me, and then eventually my tears just started to dissipate, and my pain started turning into these very peaceful escapades and dreams of Paris. And all I could tell you is it was a very much of a three-dimensional journey that I was taking in my heart and my spirit, and it started to heal me. And over a period of time, I started writing, and the writing started to turn into me creating these visual sketches, and so here we are.
I have goosebumps. I can't even imagine what you went through.
Well, to think about it, I mean, believe me, right now as I'm talking to you, I'm fighting back the tears because it's a very difficult time.
Right.
But,
well, you know what? You're bringing it to life, and I'm sure he would be extremely proud of the work that you've done. And it's all to benefit an amazing cause.
And, you know, it's just been so amazing that since I've started this journey of really unveiling my dreams and my visions to the rest of the world, and not just talking about the glory of it and the fact that I really overcame a very painful time, and you know, so many people walked up to me and just hurt for me because I was in so much pain, and people just they hurt for me, and they just gave me so much strength. And as I not only overcame it but elevated above it, and people are now watching what I'm doing, you know, it was so healing and so beautiful to me is that other women are finding strength in it. And they're saying to themselves, if she can do it, if she can get from beneath the couch where people were trying to force me to take Valium just to get through my days, and I refused to take it. I escaped in my dreams and just found a place of healing. But if I can do it, then other women can too. And I tell you, that is transforming not just for them but for me as well. It's just like it just, you know, places another healing notch underneath my spirit, and it's just a beautiful thing when you can use what you've gone through to help others out of the darkness.
Absolutely. It's a process, and something comes out of it each time you think about it, each time you do something different comes out. And it's all positive stuff now because you're definitely helping these women and children, you know.
Exactly.
And Chico's very involved with the Safe Passage. He comes around every year around this time to tell me about what he's up to. And when he started teasing me a couple of months ago, and he's like, girl, we got to talk. And I was like, all right, I'm ready when you're ready, so let's get it together. So first off, I want to know, for people who are not able to attend, will you guys be filming this?
Yes, the beauty of this is we will be filming this from start to finish. And we will make the story available digitally, as well as we will have the DVDs available through the website, www.crownjewelstudios.com. So, yes, if they can attend, we will create an opportunity for people to still partake of it at a later time. It's nothing like being there.
Definitely. definitely. If you're in that area, and you can definitely get out to Los Angeles, and there's nothing beats the real thing.
Nothing would beat that.
Completely agree with you on that. I posted links and throughout Facebook and Twitter, and I want everybody to go check this out. There's advertising space still available. There's a ton of stuff that you guys can do. You can donate to participate and be part of history. This is like the first of its kind.
Exactly right. And, Kiko and I, who's also my mentor, and he's such an inspiration to me for so many different levels. We are orchestrating this and presenting this during, as you may know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. The month of October is the month that we all come together as one body to tell the world, say no to domestic violence, fight against domestic violence, we can stand against it, and more importantly, support women and children that are going through this. And, the men too, the men that are doing this to women are hurting themselves and they're damaged themselves. So we can't forget about them, because they're in this place because they were themselves abused from, their childhood. So the healing has to happen for men as well. We often go into these types of fights and causes, forgetting and looking at the men as monsters. But you know what? They're just hurting people themselves who need help, healing, support, encouragement, and so we can't forget about them as well.
You're right. And, like you said, the men do this for a reason. There's a reason that they're that way. They're not just born into saying, okay, I'm going to just beat women. And I don't believe the saying that once a beater, always a beater. I do believe that men can change if they really want to. And I've seen it happen in my life. So, I do believe that with all my heart. Maybe you can't help everybody, but if you can touch that one person to help change that person's life, then it's worth it in the end.
Absolutely. I agree.
Completely. Tell me a little bit about the cast that you got going on and what the story's about.
We have such a tremendous cast. We conducted 4 casting calls over 3 months. And we have a cast of 40. That's 40. It's a huge production. We have a supermodel all the way from Paris by the name of Eva Touré. We're so excited that he's part of this production. He's traveled all over the world as a supermodel. Wonderful European gentleman, and so he's part of our cast. We have Sabrina Aradad, who also is a part of our cast, and she was one of the contestants for, I believe it was season 9. Don't quote me on which season. I don't have it in front of me, but she was one of the contestants in America's Top Model. And so she has done a lot of notable work, and that cast is supplemented by some, other wonderful individuals. Our choreographers, Une La Vie, there's 3 ladies, Alana Antoinette and Lauren, who are the choreographers, who are fabulous models from the Los Angeles area that's part of this cast. And so we just have some great people. We have a beautiful blend of very experienced models, but we also have up-and-coming models. Part of Kiko and I as co-producers, part of our goal is to provide opportunities for up-and-coming talent that Hollywood normally say, forget it, you've got the potential, but you're not quite there. Well, part of our mission is to allow these up-and-coming, absolutely beautiful models and dancers to work alongside supermodels and top models, and more importantly, to work with professional runway trainers. I have some amazing commercial models, the print models, the models that have even done some awesome runway work, but they've never had formal training. So we're actually paying for them to receive training. And I have modeled for this model, and they said, Donna, I've done this, but I had never had training. Someone really tweaked my walk and really helped me to elevate my stage presence. So part of what we do is a mentor program, and I'm so excited about that because we've seen our cast transform, not just artistically, not just as it relates to their catwalk or their overall theatrical performance, but we've seen them change as human beings because we create this nurturing environment, a community, a family. It's not like other casts where they go and they're treated like a piece of meat and they're not taken care of. We treat our cast like royalty, quite literally.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, they give us everything that we have, and it truly elevates the level of excellence for the show. So there's people that are truly invested from the heart, and they give back because they're treated so well and they're treated like family. And there's people out there, as gorgeous as they are, they don't have that at home. They are not getting that in Hollywood.
Right,
so
exactly.
That's what Kiko and I do, and it's so rewarding, to say the least.
Well, tell me about Oz, Diamond, and Jean-Paul.
Well, let me tell you, they are fabulous people, to say the least. But we have this absolutely phenomenal story called Fashion House, and there's three characters that live within this story, and it starts with Oz, played by the notorious actor that you know very well, Kiko Ellsworth, and Oz is a self-absorbed, egotistical, I'll stop at nothing to get to the top type of person. He is a producer and a fashion designer for an international fashion house, European fashion house. He's very competitive. His nemesis, her name is Diamond. I play this character, Diamond. And Diamond is your typical diva of all divas. She is a fashionista, coded in Vogue, spring edition 2010, page 333, upper right-hand corner. And you'll find out more about her if you come see the movie. But Diamond is your typical diva. She's very competitive, and you know, she doesn't like Oz very much. They're competitive. They are at each other's throats constantly. But there's a little bit more to that story. So you'll just have to come to the 16th of October to see what's really behind that relationship. Jean-Paul is the assistant to Diamond, and Jean-Paul is a European wannabe fashion, gent, but he idolizes Diamond, and he idolizes Oz even more, but he doesn't want Diamond to know it because, of course, he doesn't like Oz very much. So, you know, he's constantly trying to, spin, this competition between the two so that it comes out that they'll be friends, but it doesn't quite work out that way.
Okay. Now, what else besides A Night in Paris do you have working out that you're working on?
Other than A Night in Paris, we just shot the trailer for a movie that Kiko and I are both co-producing on, and we're also the lead actors in the piece. And so we're working on a full-length movie, and it's a dramedy. So it's a delicate balance of comedy and drama, and it's called Fashion House. And we were on set last night shooting that. We are planning to navigate our way through the festivals all over the country and place our signature on this piece through the festival world. And then certainly not placing our eggs in one basket, then we want to take it to, the cable channels and the networks and try to sell it that way. So that's a huge project we have on our plate. We also are looking at a theater. We're looking to take over a theater in the Los Angeles area to seat 500 people, and our plans with this theater is to produce, write, and perform in 2 to 4 large-scale theatrical productions, plays primarily, 2 to 4 productions a year. Of course, we cast for it, and our goal is twofold. One, that we'd have a beneficiary like Safe Passage, so that a large percentage of proceeds would be donated to an organization like Safe Passage, and also that we would use the theatrical environment to, again, create this movement in this community where we would inspire and motivate and teach and train artists in the area.
Okay. Tell me about the featured designer, Remy. How do you say his last name?
Remy Hugh.
Hugh, okay. So yeah. Tell me about him and why he's your featured designer.
Well, let me say, and all the designers are incredibly talented and they do auspicious work, and they are, in their own right, pretty exceptional artists. Remy was chosen for a couple reasons. As I said, they're all equally as talented. Remy has quite a phenomenal story himself as to his claim to fame and how he became what he is. He came from another country and, he was slated as this person that would never make it. And you just have to read his biography. It's so all-consuming. But, I would say you would never think that this man would have accomplished, would have achieved what he did because he,
really?
His testimony is so phenomenal, how he kind of came up from the trenches of death to really evolving to being this very successful designer. But he's recognized as, one of the most innovative designers in, the Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very notable celebrity stylist, so he's really made a name for himself in the Hollywood market, as a private, stylist for celebrities. He's done a ton of shows. And as I said, he's got such an incredible heart, and his work is brilliant.
Don't you find that those are the best stories when they turn out to be the most successful, or the ones who, get put down upon as they're growing up and that they'll never be anything or whatever, and then there they are on top, shining bright, and they're the ones that are usually with the most generous hearts.
Exactly. And I tell you, everybody that Kiko and I as producers, everybody that we surround ourselves by, it's not a money thing, it's not a status thing, or we're very pure-hearted people, I think. And so we tend mm-hmm. to attract and magnet ourselves to people of similar hearts that really are good people, and they want to make a difference in this world, and it's not just about, making a bunch of money and status
mm-hmm.
and being a star in Hollywood. And it's not just about self-accolade and idolizing self and being on my big parade. The people that truly want to take their gifts and their talents and use them to make the world a better place and to shine that light, help others out and up. And not
mm-hmm.
that I made it, and great, I'm just going to sit on my pedestal and enjoy my glory and my fame, but people that say, I made it, but I'll never forget where I came from. I'll never forget what it took for me to get here, and I know there's millions of people out there that need me as a light to help reach them out of the darkness to say, you can do it too. So the more
mm-hmm.
people can take out their hands and lift up and say, I'm no different than you are. I was almost at death's door two, but guess what? Someone believed in me. Someone showed me the one. Someone, gave me a hug and told me I mattered, and they held my hand and they helped me up, and so now it's my turn to help you up, and that's what this is all about. And so the people that have been attracted to our cause, our movement, our event, are people like that, and that's
exactly.
why I think that this has been so successful and such an evolution of, amazingness, because, people they see that and they are attracted to that. And, unfortunately, it's kind of sad to say that you don't see that very often in Hollywood. It's quite the contrary.
Right, yeah.
Not enough of it going around.
Yeah, you doing stuff like this, doing the radio show and meeting certain celebrities or whatever, you get a feel of who's genuine and who's not. And,
I'm
it makes me sad to say that a lot of people that I've met are not as genuine as I wish they were, and it's almost like my image of them has been tarnished now, and I wish I never met them because I like my own image in my head, but there's still a handful of people out there that don't forget where they came from. Kiko's one of them. I adore him, and you'll never know that I never met him. We've only met via the radio, him doing a show, and I've never met him in person.
Oh my God.
We communicate so well just via him doing these shows with me, and then through emails or whatever. He's just such a genuine heart, genuine soul giver. I mean, I adore him to death. Anything he asks me to be a part of, I jump in with both feet because I know it's genuine and I know it's real and I know the places that he's going with it. You know what I mean? And I think that if some people just touched him and got a little bit of Kiko-ness off of him, they'd be all right.
Well,
and I can say that about you as well. Because just talking to you, I can hear it in your voice, and I can say that you are one of the most sincere, genuine women I've had on the show in a very long time.
Well, I so appreciate that, and that means so much to me. And I have to jump on your bandwagon as it relates to Kiko because, you know, he, you know, as you know, he's a notorious actor, producer, and speaker.
Mm-hmm.
He's accomplished so much. You know, years as a soap opera star, you know, film, TV, there's so many things that he's accomplished and that he continues to accomplish. And he is one of the most humble individuals I've ever had to meet, the pleasure of meeting in my life. He's a, he, like you said, he's a giver and he gets it and he cares and, you know, and he's giving back at a level, not just, okay, I'm a star and, you know, this is sort of now, you know, now you've got these stars that are doing it just for publicity stunts. You know, and but there's people like Kiko that it's not a publicity stunt. He truly, truly gives of himself for the betterment of others. And I have to say, not just organizations, but me personally, he's mentored me artistically. We were on set as an example, you know, and I'm acting alongside of him. And here I've got, and then now I call him Chief, you know, and he's coaching me and he teaches me and I'm learning from him and he's taking his gifts. And he's giving back to me. And you know how fabulous it is to be on a set, to have someone share the path that they've taken, and they're sharing it with you at such a genuine level, and they're not holding back. They're giving you everything that they've got because they want you to be good. And how you don't meet people like that. They don't care. You know, and so I appreciate him so much, and I watch him and watch him, you know, supporting Safe Passage the way he does and just giving of himself. Just because that's what he was predestined to do before the beginning of time, and I honor him in such a big way, more than words can say. He's the guy. He's the guy.
I completely agree. Christine is one lucky woman, that's for sure.
Well, isn't she? Well, I tell you, they are such a fabulous couple. I mean, they just complement each other in such a beautiful way, and they both have such beautiful hearts, and I'd say that's a match made in heaven. Match made in heaven.
You know what, Donna? Hold on a second, because Kiko's really calling my cell phone. He ain't even
calling
the right number.
Okay.
Hold on. He's calling in right now. He doesn't know what he's with the other number.
He was trying to call me as well. I couldn't click over.
Yeah, that's all right. That's okay. But look, like I said, he could show up at any time, and it doesn't matter. The door's always open for what he's got to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, one of these days we'll actually meet, and, you know. Isn't it crazy?
I would love that.
Yeah, I would love to. One of these days, our paths will cross eventually. You know, one of these days I'll get out to California and he'll come to Florida.
There you go.
You know?
Well, I have a wonderful idea. You can just get on a plane and, you know, come to our event on the 16th of October and enjoy this absolutely
beautiful
atmosphere.
Let me bring him on the phone. Hello, Mr. Kiko.
Hello. Who's on the line?
We've got Donna and myself.
Who's Donna and obviously the beautiful Joanne. Everybody's beautiful.
Yes,
including you.
Yes, exactly. We were just talking you up. Perfect timing.
Oh, yeah. Your ears must have been burning.
And, you know, I'm sorry for calling in late. I'm, like, looking through my emails, and I, you know, can't find your email, Joanne. But I called in. I'm here, so it's all good.
That's
all
right.
What's happening? What's going on?
Oh, Donna just gave me the lowdown on everything that's been going on with the night in Paris, and I have to say that I am so utterly proud of you, as usual. And I am so glad that you brought Donna into Stardust Radio, because I'm a huge fan now.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure she already told you how we, like, met. I mean, like, God just, like, forced us to meet, and he, like, pretty much... Oh, you didn't? Oh,
no, we didn't talk about that. Go ahead, you tell me.
Oh, okay. Well, I think she tells the funniest story, but I'll tell it anyway. So we actually study at the same acting school because, you know, I figure, like, the more I go along in my acting career, the sharper I got to get and the more training I got to get myself, too. So, you know, it's kind of like back at the drawing board again. So anyways, I'm at this great place, Baron Brown Studio. Love it. Into the class, you know, the class is packed, and it's at the time it's like hot, and it's, everyone's in class, and there's one seat available, and me and the lady that was one seat away from me, we said, oh, okay, well, since it's so hot in here, we're going to put our stuff in this chair, and we're not going to have anybody sit next to us so we can have a little elbow room, you know what I mean? So, So a scene is going on. Someone's, like, doing their scene. And, you know, when scenes are happening, you're not supposed to come and go. You know, only after the scene is done or before it starts, something like that. So Donna comes in the middle of a scene. Just, like, this lady from out of nowhere, just not even in our class, she just comes in our class. So, you know, I put his hand up thinking I'm a stopper. I'm like, wait, stop. You know, she totally ignores, like, my hand, which I'm thinking, you know, well, people usually stop when I put my hand up. So I'm feeling completely like, oh, she just ignored me. You know, she just dissed me, just walked right past my hand. And then so she's standing up in the back of the class, and, you know, I mind you, there's that one seat. So I'm like, well, I guess you should sit down. We're not going to be rude, and, you know. And then we sit down next to one another, and really that's, you know, we the conversation didn't start off just, you know, we were just kind of like, hi. And then it kind of rolled from there. We started seeing each other, and we just, you know, she was a great gal, you know, she's an angel, and it's just undeniable, and we just really just linked up that way and kept talking about the same beautiful things, and we just naturally started, had the same type of a vision. So here we are.
And the beautiful rest is thing. History, as they say.
That's right, and the rest is history.
The rest is history.
We plan on making some history here, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and so. I was explaining to Donna, you know, how you come on just about every October and we do something about a safe passage, and you know, and the inspiration that you give off, and I just think that you're one of the most genuine people there is. And, you know what, that we're so connected, but we've never met. That's
just
the way that it is. You know, I mean, I know that if I need to talk to him, I could just shoot him an email, and like, da-da-da-da, this is on my mind, and he's there. And, he's a genuine star in my eyes. So, there.
I might be a little late. I might drop the ball. Every now and then, but I'll come through.
He's good. He's good. It's all good. So, now, you give me your version of A Night in Paris. I've got Donna's. Tell me yours.
Well, you know, really, let's see what you want to know. My version of A Night in Paris, I think in a nutshell, that's going to be, you know, we really wanted to set up, like when her and I were talking about forming this whole movement, we really wanted the event itself and everything leading up to it to be transformational. So, you know, for the viewer, for everyone that's taking a part of it. So, you know, we had to really continue to mold ourselves to be able to produce something like this to this capacity that will be able to do that. You know, so if we just transform and free up one person that just is empowered, you know, that's like, you know what, I can do this. you know, life is not necessarily as bad as it is. If Donna can do it, I can do it. If these women of safe passes can do it, they can do it. Maybe it'll get one woman, one young girl out of a bad domestic violence type situation, then we've done our job. You know, it just takes a domino effect, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. we just really want to keep ourselves aligned with doing it for the right reasons, but at the same time, we wanted to make it cool. You know, so that's how right. we threw in, like, the comedy aspect that we just finished yesterday. And the theater with Donna loves so much. You know, she's infatuated with, you know, Paris. You should be at Donna's house. She has, like, Paris and Eiffel Towers all over her house. I mean, you've never seen a house with so much Paris paraphernalia. I mean, it's great. So, I mean, we had to do the Night in Paris thing because she's pictures of Paris all over the place. So, I mean, it's really quite fascinating. It's like a Paris museum.
Aw, okay. Well, you did have a wonderful, Donna was telling me that you guys are going to be filming this from start to finish, so I love that idea for those that can't get there, you know, and can't see it. They'll be able to purchase a DVD eventually of it.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have the DVD, but, you know, we'll have it online as well and that sort of media format where they can get it on their phone or whatever, you know, because that's where everything's going. I mean, people are watching. I mean, I haven't graduated to that myself. I guess I'm kind of a dinosaur. People are, like, just watching movies on their phones with these big, you know, five screens and, yeah, I don't know. I just got my TV back about 2 weeks ago, so.
Yeah. Well, I would be one of those that would appreciate the DVD because, you know, I would never be able to make it out to California, as tempting as it sounds, Donna, given my circumstances. Kiko knows I just relocated back to Florida from New York because my father was just diagnosed with cancer, so I'm here taking care of my dad. And,
wow.
Yeah, how was dad doing? What's the latest with that? How's he doing?
Extremely well. He goes back in October 3rd for his fifth round of chemo. Then he's got one more session. That'll be for 5 continuous days, 24 hours a day. Then he goes back in again on the 23rd of October for his 6th and final session. Then they'll do all his scans and see where we stand. But by that time, you know, the tumor should be completely gone. After his last PET scan, it showed that, you know, it completely busted everything up and, you know, a lot of it was dead and done with. So this is just protocol. They have to follow that treatment. And the ironic part of it is that the cancer that he has is the same cancer that I was diagnosed with 7 years ago. So
wow.
I know exactly what he's going through. So, yeah, so I'm here, you know, my mom and my kids and doing my daughterly duties.
Wow, that
well,
is
send
so
them,
beautiful.
Definitely send them our love, you know, for sure. I think I told you last year when me and my now current wife, Christine, she actually overcame ovarian cancer herself, too, years ago. So, yeah, that's real close. Like, she had a really up-close and personal experience with that herself.
Yeah, you know, it's something else to, you know, to deal with, but that's why I appreciate the DVDs. You know, I'm not that big of a traveler. You know, my family keeps me grounded here in Florida. As I said, next time you're around in Florida, you got to call me when you're in Miami. So then we can.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you're in Miami. Last time I was in Miami was with Bad Boys 2, so I would love to go back. And that was a long time ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a real long time ago.
Yeah, that was like 7, 8 years ago or something. That's the last time I was in Miami, but I would love to go back there. Where particularly?
I'm right in Fort Lauderdale. I am between Fort Lauderdale and Miami, right close to the beaches.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's cool.
We got your number. We know where you at, Joanne.
That's right. So now tell me what else is going on the acting front for Kiko.
What's going on?
Any more projects?
Oh, yeah, I'm up for a couple of things. Actually doing some research right now. I'll actually know in a week or so about something, which I don't like to jinx things. You know, I don't want to, like, blow the wad before it actually comes to fruition. So, but yeah, it's at the acting front. I'm still, you know, pumping even harder actually than before, and things are coming full circle. And the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, when I first started acting, like acting was popping, but it was funny because no other aspect of my life was popping. You know what I mean? Like I wasn't married, I wasn't in a good relationship. My own spirituality was off. My habits were, I had bad habits, you know. So, but now the good thing about it is that everything is moving forward at once. You know, all those things inclusive that I just mentioned, along with making progress in the acting career as well. So I'm really excited about that because it's really just a new life for me, a new experience, and I'm gonna take my wife and family around the world and just really experience the freedom of having that sort of life with my family, you know, to be able to experience those things. Donna, are you got me on speakerphone again, Donna?
Me and
have this thing.
You have to tell me this
every
all
time.
The time. Turn the speakerphone off. I can hear myself vibrating.
Because, you know when someone has you on speakerphone and then it's sometimes it's up too loud, you can hear your own voice back repeating yourself as soon as you say a word. So I've been like dealing with it for the last, I'm like, I don't want to talk and hear myself at the same time. So yeah, we go through this every day. I love her. That's my sis. It's all good.
Pico, I have someone in the chat room that wants to know, do you have any plans to do another soap?
There's no plans to do it particularly. Although I've actually had a couple of offers that I passed up currently, just because I'm actually involved in some passionate things right now. But I'm definitely open. I'm definitely open to it. You know, I love being able to do this project, like the things that I'm doing now with like Donna and we're actually we have like a feature film that actually has the same genre based off of domestic violence that we're developing.
Yes, we're talking about that. Very excited.
Yeah, after we complete the night in Paris. So, you know, I like being able to make, you know, things that I'm passionate about that make a really powerful difference. That's our intent, at least, to make that sort of a difference in projects that we're really just passionate about. So I like having that sort of freedom. We all want to, all of us, I don't care who you are, if you're an actor or a bartender, it doesn't matter. Like, we all want to spread our wings in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just like having that sort of freedom. So it's been a balance, you know, but yeah, I'm definitely open.
Well, you know, not for nothing, Bob Guza really needs to jump on his game because we still don't know what the hell happened to Stan.
Oh,
you know, Stan's
Bob,
still out there somewhere.
Bob, give me a call. You got my number, boy. You got my number. So we'll negotiate
Tiffany.
Something with me and Donna. We'll negotiate something with me and Donna, my sister. Maybe
Stan
Donna
ran away
my
with
sister,
Donna.
Something like that.
Yes,
there you go.
Stan ran away with Donna. Poor Tiffany. She can't find out what happened to her boy.
You should have seen us yesterday. We were on set and our characters were fighting back and forth. And she was getting me angry. I was like, girl, you better stop touching me. her character kept throwing the
ball. I was sharing a little bit of that.
Joanne, she was gloating, wasn't she? She was gloating. And I was slapping him in the face.
She didn't even tell me that.
I didn't come to that ground.
She didn't even tell me. She didn't get down and dirty like you just did. She was
fantastic,
you were.
Go ahead and edit that part out.
No
way. Forget about
it.
But it was live, honey.
I love
it.
That's a great experience, and I think, you know.
I'm cutting somebody off. Who was that?
I was just sharing with Joanna that it was such an amazing journey. It wasn't just an experience; it was a journey to have you were my acting coach on set, and to have someone who's, you know, accomplish, you know, the great things that Kiko has accomplished artistically as an actor, you know, and as a producer, to have him on set coaching me along every step of the way was so artistically, spiritually life-transforming for me. And so I just have to say on your show, if I may, Joanna, thank you, Big Brother. Thank you so much for being a part of my life and being my mentor and being my very special friend and my coach, because you were my coach. And it was just so great. And I really, really appreciate it. And Thank you. I just should have told you that.
I love you.
Because we were like up so late, and, you know, sometimes we move so fast, you know, sometimes
yeah.
we have to stop and say thank you, and I appreciate you beyond words.
Oh, you're welcome. I, you know, I love you so much, and I've told you, Joanne, at the same time I've told her too, she's absolutely, without a doubt, been my mentor in so many ways as well. It's funny because we've been mentoring each other in
each
different
other.
Ways.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing that
it's
we have to offer are mentoring each other.
Exactly,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about that, Donna. It's about what one has to offer to the other. You know, if more people would touch people like Kiko and yourself and others, we'd have a great world, wouldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that's such a great ending of a you know, story, you know, and I have to, this is such a great writing material what you just said, because it just is a reflection that there's still yet much work to be done. There's so
Absolutely.
Many people out there that are hurting, that are hopeless, that, you know, want what they see on TV or want what they see, you know, in the sky through someone. And so it just is, there's much work to be done, and it's up to us to do that work, to reach out there and grab the hand of someone to help them out of the darkness, help them out of that hopeless place and say, I'm no different than you are, and
mm-hmm.
you can do it too. And so, you know, that's the movement.
Yeah, and a lot of people, absolutely. I mean, you know, what you were saying with that, you know, a lot of people are going through pain, you know, the obvious pain, and I think a lot of people look at that and say, yes, she's, you know, she's domestic violence, she's been beaten, of course she's going through pain, but there's a whole nother level of pain, too, which are
sure.
just the simple pain of people that, say, for the people that are just not following their dreams and their passions in their life, the people that are stuck in the day-to-day routine,
mm-hmm.
I guess you can call it somnambulism, that are just walking around and sleep,
mm-hmm.
but not
yeah,
expressing
yeah.
their passion, not challenging themselves. So, I mean, to me, because I went around like that for a long time too, and I'm like, wow, that is torturous pain right there, because you don't know
yeah.
it necessarily either.
Right,
so,
right.
But yeah, we definitely want to, you know, make a difference wherever we can, because I don't think we're gonna know, any of us really in this world really know, when we say something positive or do something positive, really who we're really affecting and to what capacity, and when it stops affecting people in a positive way. I think it just goes,
yeah.
just keeps going.
Absolutely.
Really
words carry a long way. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
a simple smile can definitely do it for someone.
Mm-hmm.
I know every time I talk to you, I get all happy, so. I turn into a different person for a couple of days. My kids are like, oh, Ma, you're being so nice. I had my fulfillment of Kiko-ness.
Yeah.
Be
like,
you know, we're like
flowers.
We have to be watered and nurtured,
yeah.
and we have to be given light, and so we can see that in each other's lives, you know, throughout
yeah.
the world. It's just nurture, you know. We're human beings. We require that. We need that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You're absolutely right, Donna. Absolutely right. Well, this is an amazing project, and I can't wait to see it, even though on DVD, I'll be there in spirit. Now, did you say that you were going to be filming this, streaming this live, Kiko, on the Internet?
Oh, no, we hadn't made plans to, so.
Oh, okay.
We're definitely going to record it, though. We're definitely going to record it and
right.
make it accessible to people that cannot attend the event as well.
Okay, and the important thing here, I want everybody to remember that proceeds, a portion of the proceeds go to Safe Passage, which is, you know, a charity that Kiko's very involved with and has been for quite some time. And
their website.
Check out
what
yeah.
they do. Check out what Trish Steele does at the website,
safepassage.com.
SafePassageLives.org.
Okay. See, I'm putting that in here. SafePassageLives.org. And then you can
also go
to CrownJewelStudios.com to check out a little bit more about the production, A Night in Paris. There's links on here to become advertisers and sponsors and a lot of cool stuff. It's a beautiful website, I have to say. And Donna, you are freaking smoking hot. Look at you.
Looking
at your website now.
She is
gorgeous.
I'm like glad to see you. Oh, wow. That's so sweet of you.
So, yeah, you guys.
And you know, one of the
Joanne.
Things
out. Yes,
one of the
Joanne,
things that I wanted to. Uh-huh. You
got to
go.
Oh, no. Don't forget you're about You should have seen what she was wearing yesterday. She had on these boots that were thigh highs that went all the way up to her thighs. And you're talking about her being smoking. I wish you would have seen that, because you'd have been like, oh my gosh, she looks like Catwoman. She was looking all hot, but she would have kicked your butt at the same time. You know what I mean? That's what she did with me. But go ahead. I cut you off.
I was in character.
For you to make a donation via PayPal also, and you can sign up for the newsletter, which I think is pretty awesome. It's such a catchy website, so please check that out. And definitely, if you're in the Los Angeles area, get your tales over to Million Dollar Theater, 307 South Broadway, Los Angeles. Discounted ticket rates through October 1st are as follows. $50 tickets now is $25, includes general admission and access to the fashion and style marketplace. Now only $25. $150 VIP ticket now would be $100, and that includes premium theater seating, red carpet access, and invitations to VIP receptions before and after the event. Tickets are available for purchase at crownjewelstudios.com or by phone at 888-985-9480. I am so proud of you both. And, Kiko, thank you for bringing Donna into my world.
My pleasure. I thank God that they brought her into mine.
And I share that. I thank God for Kiko being in my world. I love him and Mama Christine so much. And thank you, Donna, for having me, having Kiko. We appreciate you giving us the opportunity to be part of your world as well. And you are just as fabulous of a person. And I look forward to coming back to visit.
Donna, the door is always open. Kiko, you know it's always open. My next show, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Michael Sutton. Now, how's this for a kicker, Kiko? Michael Sutton. He played Stone Cates on General Hospital 18 years ago. He played the boyfriend to Robin Scorpio that died of AIDS, the AIDS virus. It was the first storyline they did like that on television in the daytime. He's reprising his role on General Hospital as a ghost.
Wow.
So stand still. Wow.
He's a ghost.
Stay tuned.
Nice.
So come join me for Michael Sutton tomorrow for a little bit, 11 a.m. on Stardish Radio. Until then, check out all those links and that number I gave you to go see A Night in Paris and have fun with it. And remember, a portion of it goes to A Safe Passage. Thank you again to Kiko Ellsworth and the beautiful Donna Rafer for joining me tonight.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
Good night, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Good night,
gentlemen. Have a great one, everyone. Talk to you later.
You too.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassi, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.